Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome in. Good Saturday morning to you. John Dickinson joined on this Saturday in the Bay by the one and only, the great Nash Solomon. Nash.
Yes, sir, JD. I'm glad to be back on air. And honestly, I'm more excited that I'm with my great pal, John, the legendary Dickinson.
Appreciate you, buddy. Good to have an opportunity for us to finally do this. I know with the pandemic and the way the schedule's been, a lot of things getting shuffled around in a lot of different places. And, you know, there's been times where I would be on a lot and then not on at all. And I know you were starting to, you know, be on a lot, especially on the weekend. And,
yeah.
And you know, then there was no weekend programming for a while because there was, you know, you couldn't go out. So as things have changed in terms of, you know, things slowly opening up and everybody continuing to be as safe as possible, we're getting back at it here third consecutive weekend on the weekend. So good to have a chance for our paths to finally cross and us to get a chance to do a show together, man. I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I'm excited, JD. Not only are we getting some weekend programming back, but it looks like we're getting some sports back, right? I mean, I know we're still a month away, but hey, JD, at least there's some optimism in the air right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I wanted to start because, you know, last week, I was in here with Steven in the last couple of weeks with nice guy Steven Langford, and I couldn't remember last Saturday and even Sunday with Kyle Madsen, but really Saturday coming on the air at this time, I felt almost defeated in terms of it just felt like and things had been trending toward opening up and sports returning, and the NBA had come to an agreement. Things looked really bleak in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You had so many players in the NFL and college football had tested positive for COVID-19 right around the end of last week, including a 49ers player.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, coming on the air last week, it was almost as down as I had been since things had started to turn toward sports returning. But I got to be honest, this week it feels completely the opposite, and the reason why is we've got the dates now. We know the NBA schedule now, and they have the firm target date of July 30th, and you could see the games, and Major League Baseball is going to release a schedule here in the next couple of days, and the NFL said within the last couple of days that training camp's going to start on July 28th. So we've got the dates. We can see it on the calendar. It's all within the next 4 weeks to a month away. And I think it's a sign of optimism, even as we continue to all try and be safe and as careful as possible amid the pandemic that isn't going away.
Right.
But we are trying to figure out a way to work through it and continue to live.
Yeah. And it's kind of the epitome of how this whole pandemic's been, right? Every single week, it's something new. We don't know what information to believe. We don't know if we're going to get closer to normalcy, if we're getting further away from it. And use that analogy of last week, you felt like it was the most defeated you ever felt. And today, it feels like we're damn near close to normal in the sports world. 7 days go by, just shows you that we're trying to trend in the right direction. It's just the uncertainty going on in the world. But you know what, JD? The NBA has their plan. They're going to have their bubble. I know 16 players tested positive. But that's a small number considering how many players are a part of this little bubble we got going on. So honestly, I'm just excited that we're going to have a situation where basketball does have a legit opportunity to finish this season. I mean, it all comes down, will the players go in or out of that bubble? But you know what? We have dates. We have games, JD, and I'm honestly just excited. It's March Madness version of the NBA. We're getting all these games starting as early as 10 a.m. every single day, up to 7 games a day. You can't turn that down.
No, and I'm looking at it, and I thought, you know, when the league changed, you know, originally they said, oh, it's going to be July 31st, which is a Friday. And, you know, basically you're going to have teams playing every other day for 2 weeks to finish it up. But when they switched it to the 30th and they said, no, we're going to start a day earlier. My first thought was they want to have the normal TNT Thursday, just two games,
right,
like they would on opening night, like a lot of the Thursdays are throughout the course of a normal season. And sure enough, you look at July 30th as the schedule gets released, and it's basically starting in some ways where it stopped back on March 11th with the Utah Jazz,
right,
playing.
They didn't want to wait too long to get Gobert back on the floor.
And the New Orleans Pelicans playing. The Pelicans were slated to be in Sacramento the night everything stopped. And if you remember that one game when everything was suspended, that was the only game on the schedule, that Pelicans-Kings game, that hadn't started on the night where Rudy Gobert tested positive. So the league at that point, it's so crazy to think that this was, given everything we know now and the way everything has played out over the last 3.5 months, it is crazy to think that the NBA was actually going to allow that one game that hadn't been played to be played, and then start the suspension of the season the next day. Isn't that crazy when you think back at how serious this whole thing wound up being?
Yeah, and I'm thinking back, didn't Dallas still continue to play a few minutes of the third quarter after the Oklahoma City game got canned?
Well,
Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, there were games going back to March 11th. It was a normal Wednesday, right?
Right.
In the NBA.
Yeah,
and
ESPN night, baby.
The Kings-Pelicans game was the last game on the schedule, but just the way the schedule worked that day, there were already games that had started when Rudy Gobert had tested positive and that game in Oklahoma City wound up getting canceled between the Jazz and the Thunder.
Right.
But every other game other than that one and the one that was going to be played at 7:30 Pacific, the Kings-Pelicans game, was already underway. So they made the decision that they were going to not play in Oklahoma City for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And then the game in Sacramento was the only one that hadn't started, and it was a nationally televised game that night with Zion Williamson scheduled to play, a couple of teams battling for the eighth spot. So they were going to let that game go. But yeah, all the other games were actually in progress. So they closed up shop, let those games finish. That was it. And then the one game was going to be played, but when they found that one of the officials had been an official in the Utah Jazz game prior, That was a wrap. That's when they said, nope, only the games that haven't been finished yet can finish, and then it's all getting shut down. And now here we are, you know, gosh.
Months later.
Just about 110 days later, and now we finally have a schedule and an attempted, you know, plan for a return.
I mean, yeah, we've pretty much missed NBA as long as what everything from the All-Star break is to the NBA Finals, right? We've missed 3 to 4 months of basketball, JD. And it's to the point where it's almost, I feel like I can't even remember what the feel for the NBA was at that time, or who were the teams that were trending forward, who were the teams that were kind of going through their downfalls. It's crazy to think that we can pick a season back up when we almost have almost gone through an entire offseason. And here we are. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm just curious to see how teams come back in. I know it's only 8 games, and we have a lot of teams that probably don't have a realistic chance of making the playoffs. But I'm just curious to see how teams respond right away. I mean, you got older teams like the Lakers and younger teams like the Memphis Grizzlies, and two completely different worlds. How they respond will be yin and yang, completely opposite. So that's what's so fascinating about this bubble. We're going to look back 20 years from now and be like, damn, what happened in that season?
Yeah, it is pretty remarkable. And I think if you're an NBA fan, and you saw this a lot, you know, on social media last night, you know, everybody's been so down and trying to do the right thing and stay as safe as possible. But when you get a look at the schedule, if they're able to pull it off, and look, everything we talk about on these shows is obviously with the statement being made that they can pull it off safely, because it still remains this gigantic unknown,
right,
Although I will say this for Adam Silver, and I give him credit. I thought yesterday, Nash, was the first time that Adam Silver really strongly, you know, in the face of, you know, a lot of people that were really being critical considering the situation with the virus in the state of Florida and around Orlando more specifically, he really was as strong as saying, we're going to really try to do this. No option, and I'm quoting Adam Silver, no option is risk-free right now. The challenge before us as a society and as an industry is to find a safe way to operate. He went on to say, we can't sit on the sidelines indefinitely. We must adapt. We believe it will be safer in our campus than off it, but this is not business as usual. I think Adam Silver, maybe more than any commissioner in any sport, has tried to really please everyone as much as possible, the owners, the television networks, the players, and I think it he was very cautious in putting the plan together that we now see. But I think, you know, yesterday, I think there was a certain, you know, part of the sports world that was almost expecting him to, I don't want to say dial it back, but be a little bit more worried about whether or not it could all get pulled off. And he went in the opposite direction. And I found it to be surprising and refreshing. And to stand behind the plan and to say, look, we're going to have the testing. It may not work, but we are proceeding amidst the noise, and we are going to do everything we possibly can to make it happen because that's just where we are as a society. I thought it was really strong and powerful and positive from the commissioner, Adam Silver. Maybe his greatest day frankly, of leadership.
Wow.
You know, during his tenure.
Yeah, and it's hard to knock that because you talk about how refreshing and positive it sounded, but he was being completely honest. Like he said, look, there's no guarantee this can work, but this is our best bet. And at the end of the day, like, sure, there's a bunch of TV revenue that goes into these things, but he knows as a league, it all goes back to the fan base, and it all goes back to keeping your fan base happy. And we know the NBA is one of the most rising leagues in sports. It's starting to become on the forefront of popularity, trying to chase the NFL. And I know we see Adam Silver be that honest. And you mentioned yesterday there was a breath of fresh air. I went on my Twitter timeline, and for the first time ever, it was nothing but positive tweets of people just excited that basketball is coming back, whether your team's in it or not. I know the Warriors won't be a part of this, and it's unfortunate. And maybe it's for the best because they're trying to contain this team to as least amount of teams as possible. But even if you're a Warrior fan, you're still excited to watch this. You still get some sort of basketball back. And it's just so unique. And seeing Adam Silver, a fan favorite, come on the forefront and be able to just pretty much display that this is what we're going to do, this is why we're doing it, and we think this can work, is the most refreshing thing we've had this entire year since March came around.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, John Dickinson. Nash Solomon here on 95.7 The Game. That's the phone number to participate in the program. You can also shoot us a text at that same number, 888-957-9570. We're going to get into the NBA schedule release. Just a lot going on. Major League Baseball, finally, we get baseball back, but at what cost? And the interesting thing is going to be, you know, all of these leagues are going to be going at the same time. Like Major League Baseball is going to start actually playing games. At least the plan is to play a week before the NBA starts. But you're going to have the NBA and Major League Baseball basically going head to head in their return. And then a couple of days after that, you're going to start to get, you know, all the typical training camp stories in the NFL that, right, that pop up, you know, as we gear toward an NFL season. So fast forward a month from now, I mean, the battle for, you know, the sports conversation, I know we've gone months without having a ton to talk about and having to get, you know,
hasn't
creative.
Been easy.
And we're still in that mode. We got a month to go. But, I mean, it's going to be odd to go from no games to talk about, very little actual team and league news to talk about other than when things are going to return. But you get to that last week of July, and it's going to be MLB this and NBA that and NFL going on. Like, there really is going to be a battle for the sports fans' attention at that point.
Yeah, and we live in this world right now where all we're doing is staying home and watching Netflix and all these movies on TV and rewatching old games. And it's almost like we're trying to consume as much as we can possible. But, JD, a month from now, I'm not going to know how to consume things. I mean, I know me and you, we love going on our League Pass and going back and watching older games from earlier that day when we can, but I don't know if we're going to have the luxury of doing that now. NBA all day long, baseball all day long, and baseball is already at a rapid pace where there's games every single day. But, I mean, like, where are you going to put your priority, JD, on your TV screen?
Yeah, it's going to be the time where I'm glad that I have multiple options, and what I mean is multiple televisions. I mean, look, the NBA schedule is a viewer's dream. Like, let's just be honest. Like, the way that the layout for the NBA schedule from the 30th of July, where you have two games on TNT, you got Utah and the Pelicans, the Clippers and the Lakers are going to go at it, and then you basically have anywhere between what, 5 and 7 games a day for 16 days, and the games are all day long. I mean, we're looking at, you know, 10 in the morning that first Saturday. We're looking at 11:30 in the morning here Pacific that very first day on the 31st, where you'll have a full schedule. I mean, there's going to be games and games that everybody can watch. I mean, you talk about League Pass, but I'm looking at just the first Saturday on August the 1st. There are 5 games, and wow, ESPN's going to have a quadruple header. So 4 of the 5 games are on ESPN. Like, it is going to be a viewer's dream to get basketball back and to be able to watch, you know, yeah, your team if they're in it, but just to watch the league in general.
And we got games starting as early as, what, on a weekday, 1 p.m., JD? This is like watching the World Cup during summer. You kind of just wake up, get your day going, and you can already flick on the TV, and you got games all day. And sure, there's some really bad matchups in there. I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. They're playing the Wizards, and a lot of people are hammering the NBA for having those two teams in this for precautionary reasons. But man, I mean, that first day out of the bat, we get Zion right away. We get Lakers, Clippers, a potential Western Conference Finals showdown. I mean, if you're ever an NBA fan, this is the best time to be one. Like, even if you're a modest NBA fan, this is your chance to really fall in love with the NBA. And there's no excuse not to. I mean, there's games all day long, JD. All day.
Yeah, and I mean, you said 1 o'clock. For us out here on the West Coast, it's 10 in the morning.
Sorry, I meant 1 Pacific on a weekday. I think 4 p.m. Or no, we got – is there weekday games? Yeah, 10:30 a.m. Milwaukee I'm seeing on Tuesday the 4th in August against Brooklyn. Wow, 10:30 a.m.
It's the very first Friday, it's 11:30, and then you look at the next week, 10:30, 10:30, 11:30, 10:30 – in the morning that first week, 10 o'clock in the morning, that first or that second Friday, but that first full week of action. And then there's games on the weekend beginning, the games on Sundays beginning, looks like that third or that second Sunday, as early as 9:30 in the morning. I mean, it's, you know, it there are going to be games all over the place to keep an eye on. And you know, it's going to be amazing to go from where we were March 11th and where we've been the last couple of months, and then find ourselves in a spot where you're almost going to have to, you're going to have to decide: do you want to watch the Giants or the A's, or do you want to watch the NBA, or can you watch both? Or, you know, Hard Knocks is going to start up at some point with training camp, and you're going to have to be kind of consuming all of that news. I'm really interested to see how the ratings are for it, because I think Major League Baseball and the NBA are both going to wind up doing huge ratings. I know there's a, you know, certain portion of the population that doesn't think that any of this should be going on, right, period, because of the virus. I know, you know, there are people that are mad at baseball because, you know, of the money and all of the issues and you know, how long it took for them to come to an agreement. I actually think, though, Nash, all of that is going to go out the window once the games come back. Like, even if though it is a 60-game season for baseball and you could make a case that it's completely illegitimate, nobody's really going to care about that until it's over. And teams win divisions and win championships. Like, nobody's going to care about, like, yeah, we'll look back and go, okay, it wasn't legit. But you know what? The 66 days where there's a bunch of baseball games, everybody's just going to be happy that there's freaking baseball games on.
100%. People are going to want to sort of protest it now, not want to buy into these leagues and want to watch baseball and basketball because what's going on in the world. And Rob Manfred made this so tough, and it was a players versus the owners battle and commissioner. But at the end of the day, when they finally come on, it's going to have to take a lot of willpower to not want to watch these sports you love, to really turn away from sports finally coming back in a year where there's really been no sports, JD, and you hit it on the point. I mean, 66 days of baseball and all these games going into it. How do you not turn on the TV and easily just pass through a game? Like, you're going to stop the TV. We're stopping the TV on old games from back in the day. Like, it's not going to be that easy. And once we get into the swing of things after a few days, people are going to finally kind of give in and they're going to cave. I mean, it's just obvious. We love sports for a reason, and they're on TV for a reason. And we consume them right away for a reason.
If you're a Warriors fan, what's your excitement level? We can get into that. 888-957-9570. I know, Nash, you are not a Warriors fan, but if you were a Warriors fan, and if you are a Warriors fan out there, what's your excitement level for the return? Because if there is one thing that's going to be strange, it's the fact that the Warriors are not going to be a part of this, considering how they've been at the forefront of everything in the NBA, you know, for the last 6 years, basically. Like, any big NBA event, the Warriors were, if not, you know, headlining it, they were being talked about as to when they were going to be headlining it, right? I mean, it was, if it wasn't the Warriors were playing, it was when are the Warriors playing? And so
you were to the belief you wanted all 30 teams to come back, right? You thought there was a doable plan for that?
I did, and I actually think if there's one thing, I thought there was time for that, and I think, you know, you're sort of seeing why it wasn't possible as this plays out, just based on the whole testing process.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things I probably admittedly underestimated is the ramp up that was required just to get everybody back with their teams. Get everybody tested, go through the process of, hey, you're going to have some positive tests, as the NBA did, 16 out of 302 tests this week, and you're going to have to quarantine those guys, and you're going to have to get them back and make sure they're negative, and then basically make it where you're testing every day or just about every day with regularity so you can keep everybody as safe as possible. So having a month plus to And having at least, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before everybody goes into the bubble itself or into the campus environment, as Adam Silver calls it, having that lead up, I think, is important. So starting later and making sure, because look, the goal is to have no positive tests once all of the players enter.
Right, which is why you gave yourself enough time to have them quarantined for 2 weeks now and test them again going into the bubble.
Exactly. So everybody that wants to participate, that chooses to participate, by the time everybody goes in, the goal is everybody goes in with a clean slate. Everybody's either recovered from COVID if you did test positive and have it, or everybody, you know, or you just have had your, you know, series of negative tests and you don't have it. You basically want everybody that goes on that campus day one to not have it, and then if everybody, you know, acts accordingly and doesn't leave, and there aren't, you know, gaps where people that aren't supposed to be there that do have it are able to get in and be around the players or be around those that are around the players, that's how you limit guys getting it. I mean, the goal here for the NBA, and I don't think this gets talked about enough, and I'm not saying it can be done, but the goal for the NBA is zero positives when they go in, and then nobody gets it for the entire time they're there. Now, that might be unrealistic.
Yeah, bearing they don't go out, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, it might be unrealistic that you're not going to have any positives, but the goal, once they actually start this thing, is to have no positives.
Right.
I mean, I think that's you know, that's the NBA trying to be safe and take care of its players.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of the bubble, right? You get them in there with no positives, and you keep them contained that entire time. That's why Disney was a perfect place, because they're trying to close it off, and it's a facility where it's really just them. But like you said, we'll see how feasible it really is if guys are going on and off the campus, which I hope they're smart enough to know. Like, there's no need to do that. And I'm sure maybe players on the back end of the bench that aren't getting a whole lot of playing time, they might be subject to doing something like that. But you got to expect the LeBrons, the Kawhis, all the big-name players, they understand how serious this is, and they're obviously here to win, right?
All right, John Dickinson, Nash Solomon, 888-957-9570. We're with you here until 2 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. What's your excitement level for the NBA return, for Major League Baseball's return, even if you're mad at Major League Baseball, because it seemingly was more about the money than the safety. Are you going to be forgiving? I have a feeling if these leagues can pull this off and get things rolling here the next few weeks, I think everybody's going to be extremely forgiving and happy to have it. And who are you rooting for if you're a Warriors fan? We'll get into that coming up. Grant Cohn's going to join us. We will talk some 49ers. We're going to talk some Giants. A lot to get to between now and 2 o'clock. It's JD and Nash the Crash on 95.7 The Game.
Get. Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson, Nash Solomon, we're with you until 2 o'clock here, live and local on a Saturday on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. The NBA is back. Actually, the NBA's been back for about 3 weeks, believe it or not, Nash. But yesterday was the first time. Yesterday was the first time it felt real. When the schedule comes out and you start to see, 2 weeks basically of games. One of the best days of the year in sports, and I know the Bay Area is not into college basketball on the grand scale like people are around the country. But I think two of the best days of the year are the Thursday and the Friday of the NCAA tournament, which we didn't get, obviously, this year, where you basically here on the West Coast have games from 9 in the morning until like 10 o'clock at night. And it's just game after game after game, and there's upsets. And none of these seeding games are going to have that level of drama to them, at least initially, although some of them could as teams battle for playoff spots in that second week. But I think we're going to get a little bit of a taste of that in a time where, again, people are still being encouraged, if you can, work from home, to stay in, to try and stay safe and keep the coronavirus cases down.
Yeah, and I mean, it really is like March Madness, because like you said, there's games all day long, people working from home. So even if they're not really watching, the old wallpaper trick, you leave your TV on in the background to give a little bit of background noise, that's going to be going on. And it's so much like March Madness, too, because my time when I was in school and now working in media, that's all we do when we come into work or school at 8 or 9 in the morning. We're already thinking about the bracket. We're already thinking about the teams we put on the bracket. So now you're getting this calendar. What, we get 88 games in a 16-day span? You're already circling the games you want to watch. You're circling the games that you know are must-watch. And the games you don't want to watch, they're already on the second you get up in the morning, JD. So this is really a chance for, I know you said Warrior fans, who are you rooting for? It is a chance to figure out who do you want to root for. I mean, you're going to get 7 games a day. After a few days, you probably already watched 15 to 20 games. Figure out who's the most interesting to you right now.
Well, and the thing is, you don't have to have league pass to watch a ton of games.
Right.
Like, typically, during the season, there's a lot of good games on national television, NBA TV, ESPN, TNT, ABC. Once things get rolling in January with the Saturday night game or the Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah.
But just about all of these freaking games are gonna be on, a good portion of them. So you don't even really need to have league pass. And I'm sure, the games that are on are going to be, what else it's going to kind of feel like? It's going to kind of feel like an NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
Where you've got your games that are on, and then, even if you don't have the ticket where you can watch every game, there's going to be that feel of the game that you're watching, but then they're going to check in on the games that are going on. You know,
that is
I mean?
A good
elsewhere,
point.
If there's an overlap, so it's going to feel a little bit, I think, like the NBA version of an NFL Sunday every day.
Yeah, almost. You get that halftime show that shows the score updates of all the other games or highlights from games earlier in the day. I'm just kind of curious how things are going to work out. So, what is it? Two national games per day at the very minimum.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the schedule. I mean, honestly, look, I'm just running through, like, day one, it's the two TNT games, right? Those are the only two games.
Right.
But the day two, there's three games on national TV out of six. Day three, four out of
wow.
five games are on national TV. The first Sunday, August 2nd, I'm looking at it, three out of six games are on TV. Four out of six games the next day. Like most of these games, like most of them, like literally over half of them, Nash, are going to be available to everyone because obviously you've limited things by eight teams and you know, you're truncating the schedule where you're going to have things going on in a couple of different gyms. So you are going to have some overlap as well.
It's like watching Summer League. You see the teams warming up, getting ready for the next game. That's
yeah.
Hilarious.
It's like you do see the way they've staggered it. Like there's a game at 11:30 and then, you know, in the morning, and then the next game's at 1:00, and then there's, like, you know, maybe a couple of games at 1:00, and so you're going to have the 11:30 game, and if that game's a dud, you can switch to one of the other games at 1:00, and then, you know, you got a couple of games at 1:00, and then you got another, those get done, you got a couple of games at, you know, game at 4:30 and a game at 7:00.
Did we find out, JD, players can stay and watch other games, correct?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be fun.
It's like a high school basketball tournament.
The guys that are the real hoop heads and really into it, and I think what you'll find is most of these guys are
right
and love watching each other play and love, you know, getting maybe a little bit of a scouting advantage if you're playing that team.
Yeah,
you know, forget about watching film. I'm just going to go watch a team play.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be able to do that. I mean,
literally hear them call out stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be a cool aspect of it. I know. It is going to be weird, and my initial thought was, well, boy, you're not going to have fans, and how's it going to look, and the, you know, the energy. You know, so much of an NBA game is the energy, is the momentum.
Yep.
You know, it's a huge
you feel
thing
the
in
moment.
The NFL. But you know, you have, I think, momentum-changing plays, you know, whether it's a block or a dunk, you know, things that can almost fuel your team into a run. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the players are able to, in an environment without fans, how they're able to have that juice. So I do think there's some potential. There is some potential for a lag, but
yeah.
I don't know. Yesterday being the first time I really actually, like, I'm not the kind of person that will picture it in my head until I actually know what I'm supposed to be picturing.
Oh, that's where we're different.
So when I got the schedule, that was kind of the first time I really thought, okay, what is Utah and the Pelicans going to look like? What is Lakers, Clippers going to look like? And you know what? Call me crazy, but I actually feel like it's going to be relatively normal and cool once we get over that initial, kind of like we were on NFL draft night. You remember NFL draft night where everybody was so excited they were pulling it off?
Yeah.
And then like 5 minutes in, everybody hated it on Twitter because part of that's just the nature of Twitter. But remember it was,
yeah,
get on with it and we want the picks. And
you're not used to it. We hate change as human beings.
So people were just fiending for that draft for a month because we hadn't had anything and we probably weren't going to get anything for at least another couple of months.
Yeah.
But 5 minutes in, everybody hated it. And then by the end of the night, it was funny because by the end of the night, everybody loved it.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're going to see with this. It's going to be a little, I know for me, it's going to be a little weird because I'm trying to imagine situations. Like you say, you don't imagine it until it comes. I think I do the exact opposite. I'm always trying to envision things. Like imagine the blocked by James. Imagine that with no crowd. Like, do you really feel the moment? I'm trying to picture a game 7 in the NBA Finals with no crowd where you don't feel the ambiance of the moment. You can't feel the players vibing off the crowd. Like, think of the Warriors the last 5 years. I mean, the second Steph hits back-to-back threes, it's like, here they come. And a big part of that was because of Oracle. So maybe we'll see, like, guys that are really close friends in the league root when they're not playing, root for their buddies that are on the floor. And I'm sure when you see Lakers-Clippers, you'll see more teams out there watching these guys, but it's still going to, honestly, it's going to be so foreign to me. I'm just not used to it. So I'm kind of excited to go through that process to see how I react to that and honestly see how the players react to it.
Yeah, I think the one thing that the league is going to have to do is they are really going to have to allow for huddles to be mic'd up and us to hear guys talking trash. And yeah, if there are other players in the stands that are watching these games, maybe you have one of those guys mic'd up, frankly.
As a quote-unquote sideline reporter, but just having fun with their buddies.
Or just, yeah, like just have a, you know, have guys that aren't playing provide some analysis or just, you know, kind of laughing about the game. Like, I think that's a way where you're going to have to think outside the box a little bit. You know, guys that are willing to do it, and I think you'd have enough guys that would be willing to do it, to just, you know, how cool would it be if, you know, let's say, I'm trying to...
Well, I have an example for you. Jared Dudley's a guy that's always been in media, right? Plays for the Los Angeles Lakers. He's a guy that can easily be sitting with his team watching another game, go up to LeBron James, talk to LeBron James about, oh, you're watching the Clippers right now. You know, Los Angeles has been the most dominant team, or Lakers have been the most dominant team in LA for so long. Like, just talking about, like, having the Clippers actually as a dominant team right now and Kawhi out there. Like, just talk to me about that. Just a normal, candid conversation from LeBron James himself.
Yeah, I think that's an area it can go. I think it can also just go to, like, I think, you know, the one thing I hope that we can have, and I don't think we're going to get this, but the other thing that I would love to see is just kind of like The Last Dance, where, you know, you had the R-rated version.
Yeah.
And you had with, you know, the language, and then you had, well, you know, if you do want, you know, your kids to not hear the swearing or whatever, or that's just not your thing, you know, you could have the PG-rated version of it.
Better get that dump button ready, JD.
I would love to see the full, like, I want to hear everything, because we're going to hear it. Like we're going to hear, because we're going to hear more just because there isn't crowds, but mm-hmm. I want to hear everything. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what guys are calling guys. I want to hear, I want to hear what guys say when, you know, they stick a jumper in somebody's face. Like, I want all of that. I want, candor. Maybe you can't give me X's and O's of a huddle, you know, in terms of, you know, Mike D'Antoni saying, hey, we got to do this to stop this. Maybe you can't provide that. But if, you know, Mike D'Antoni's lighting into one of his players, you know, during a timeout.
Let's see.
I want to be able to hear it.
The problem is, though, I guess your only two options would be either mic'd up or not mic'd up at all, because, I mean, is there a long enough delay to try dumping all the bad things these guys are saying? I feel like the live aspect to it might make it a little difficult, but, I mean, nonetheless, it's still definitely... The thing I see the NBA not wanting to do this, they feel like the backlash of hearing your kid's idol, even a young adult's idol, like LeBron James or Anthony Davis, these guys, if they say something or you see the real side of them you've never seen... Well, you might get a little bit of backlash from the fans. I think the NBA might be a little bit concerned about that. I mean, they've always been a really fan-friendly league. But, I mean, JD, guys like us who just love the sport for what it is, and we don't care how a guy responds. We just want to see their true color show. I think we're all in on that. I think that's something we all can buy into.
Yeah, I want raw. I want raw NBA. And look, it better not – and here's the other thing. You know, to me, you almost put the players on notice in a way of like, look, it better not be offensive.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like it's one thing to swear, but it's another thing to say things that are like offensive, right?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So you almost are putting, like, I'm okay with the language, but, you know, again, there's a fine line between language and things that are offensive. And obviously that would be, you know, going down a slope that I don't think the league would want to go down.
Yeah, I mean, that stems whole other problems in itself. But I think you're right. And I think there's certain guys that you know for sure probably won't take you down that route. And there's obviously guys that you have to mic up if you're going to do this. I mean, just give me all the top-notch guys of every single team. Because a guy like LeBron, he's so vocal with everyone else around his team, that's the perfect guy to mic up. You don't got to mic up every single player, or you don't got to put mics on every corner of the court. There's easy and feasible ways of doing this. And I think, honestly, if there was ever a time to do it, it's now. It's only 2 weeks worth of it. If the playoffs come around, you don't want to do it no more, that's fine. But we haven't had NBA for months. Like, JD, just give me something so nuanced about this situation that's already so unfamiliar to us.
Where are you on the asterisk versus gold star, right? There's the conversation about who wins it. You know, is it legitimate? I know, you know, Matt Barnes has been on our station. Steve Kerr's been on our station. Matt Barnes, I think, was the first guy that coined the phrase, you know, whoever wins it's going to deserve a gold star, considering everything that's happening, you know, in our country and just the fact that, let's be honest, 2020 has been an awful year. I mean, 2020 has been an awful year. And it's so funny. I'll get off on a mini tangent. Like, I've talked to a lot of like older folks, like my parents, or like you know, people that have been around
50,
a hell of a lot
60,
longer
70s,
than
right?
I have. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and I asked Steiny this, and I said, you know, like, is there a year? You know, because I've only been around since the 80s, and you were, you know, what,
late 90s?
mid 90s. So it's like, has there ever been a year, like, just in the world that you could remember, you know, just as bad as this? And, like, every single person is like, no.
I mean, maybe
no.
Only 9/11, right? But I honestly was too young to even remember that to a full extent. That would probably be the only time. But it wasn't a 4 or 5 month thing. And now this thing feels like it's probably going to go a little longer than that. But you're right. Yeah, it never really was a year like this.
No, it was horrifying. And I was in college, and I just remember being like, I just remember shaking like for days.
Yeah.
Like just at the horror of like what had happened. And I remember I was visiting my parents the night before. And I just remember I was basically like, you know, home. And I'll never forget like my dad like waking up and being like this is crazy, like there's something really bad going on.
Yeah.
It's scary. And just being horrified for weeks. But you're right, it you know, as much as just awful as that was, there was like the turn and the build toward a stronger world, you know, that felt like it came almost immediately.
Yeah.
You know, from that. And, you know, we haven't been able to have that moment yet. Because like
there's no
say,
solidarity in the world right now. It's kind of tough. Like we're the acts of solidarity are in confinement. You're separate, right?
No doubt. And it's, and you're right. And it goes beyond, you know, it's also, you know, the country is so divided right now on so many issues.
Right.
You know, just, you know, whether these games should be going on or not is a, you know, that's a legitimate divisive topic that relates just to the sports world. So it is different, but yeah, to get, you know, off of that tangent, I mean, 2020 has just been bad. So where do you fall in the asterisk versus gold star?
So, I mean, for me, I think you do put a gold star on it because you got to factor in the idea that guys have been off for months and they're in such a unique situation that they're not familiar with. Nobody, no team or no individual has sort of an advantage anymore. I mean, you can't stir it one way or another. So it's all reactionary on once they get in there, how they respond, how they're able to cope with this. There's no home court advantage. There's no factor of teams that maybe are good playing on the road and act as underdogs. I think you do put a gold star on it. However, I do think it's going to be so subjective to the public if we see a team like, because, and honestly, JD, I think any team has a chance to win this thing. Like a team like Memphis just gets hot at the right time. Sure, they're not going to beat the Lakers or anything like that, but the idea that it's almost like a rapid-paced NBA, it maybe gives a team like the Dallas Mavericks that are kind of close to contending, but they're not quite there, a legitimate shot, or like the Denver Nuggets. So if you see a team win like that, everyone's going to look back like, oh, well, that young Mavericks team or that young Nuggets team only had a chance to really win it. Because of the shortened season, they're in the bubble. I think it's kind of the same way we would have looked at the 99 season if the Knicks won it, right? Like, they were an 8 seed, and they got hot at the right time because the season was only 50 games long. And instead of playing their last 32, those were now in the playoffs. I think that's kind of an analogy I kind of would stir towards it. However, they didn't win it, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, boy.
I mean, how do you remember the 99 season? When the Knicks were the only 8 seed to ever make the finals. At that time, were people kind of using the shortened season as an example? Because I know in my lifetime, LeBron's first title that he desperately so coveted was that shortened season. I mean, against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, and I mean, 66 is like literally right in the middle of 50 and 82.
Right.
Like literally. So it was more legitimate. I think, you know, everybody knew the Heat were one of the great teams. You know, to me, like, them winning would be like the
Lakers winning this year, right?
Yeah, the Lakers or the Clippers or the Bucks winning it this year. So I think if a team that was expected to win it wins it, then I don't think there's going to be much conversation unless the reason that team wins it is specifically because, you know, of like somebody tests positive. You know, LeBron goes up against Giannis and it's Lakers Bucks in the finals and Giannis tests positive before game one and has to miss the entire finals. Like something like that.
Yeah, you're right about that. At that point, people are going to be calling for, oh, there shouldn't even be a finals, but we still got to finish the season with that far along.
Or you got to wait till Giannis is healthy. And I think, you know, that's why.
Man, you think they would do that?
I think the league is leaving itself open to a number of different. And I know the media in the last couple of days has been a little unhinged with the, you got to give the rule. You got to say, how many players is too many to test pot? Like, you got to say, no, like, you actually don't. Like, you actually don't have to, because this is a fluid situation. And you know what?
Everything
changes constantly. Like, I don't think the NBA has to say, if X amount of players test positive, it's over. Yeah. They don't have to say it, because testing positive alone is not a means to shut it down. Like, I'll give you an example. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I'll give you a quick example of just kind of that specifically. You could have, let's say, 25% of the league test positive at some point, right? Like, let's say 25% of the league test positive at some point between when they started the testing and when the season ends. And as, like, you could do that and play the whole thing out, right? And everybody's safe and healthy, and you could do that. So having a specific number of players that test positive, to me, is foolish. And here's why. Because you could also have one person, and God forbid, and I hope this doesn't happen, but you could also have one person that actually gets a severe case and winds up, let's say, in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because of this. And at that point, you shut it down. You're going to shut it down.
Well, I think it's all reactionary. Like, if one guy gets it, retest the entire league. And I know we're really worried about how many tests we're using, but retest the whole league. And if it's still a low number, you can carry on with the league, right? I mean, you're now almost reinventing your bubble one more time. Like, okay, these guys tested positive. Push them out of the bubble, go through all our protocols, and we'll pretty much get back to where we left off.
No, it's just a matter of, like, people that want a number of, like, tests, like, number of cases, like, if, like, because the majority, again, the reality is the majority of players that test positive are going to be fine. Like, that is, they need to be quarantined, they can't play, they need to be contact traced. Like you said, everybody needs to be tested. But my point is more, like, you could say, let's just say you put a number on it and say,
10 players or something, right?
Once we start, if 20 players test positive, once we start at any, you know, given point, the whole thing ends, right? You could say that, but what if one person has to go in the hospital, or what if one person gets a severe case? Like, if somebody gets a severe case, you don't want to say at that point, oh, well, we're not at 20, we're at 3. But one of the three is really severely impacted by it. Like, to me, if one of the guys is really severely impacted by it, it's over.
It's the humane thing to do, right?
Exactly. It's over at that point, because nobody's going to feel like playing at that point.
I also feel like, Jamie, what if, like, 20 of those cases, like, they're coming from two teams that are already on the outside looking in? It's the last three games of the bubble before the playoffs ramp up. And it's like the Phoenix Suns and the Washington Wizards. There's no reason to can the whole thing. If those teams are gone, just cancel their last two games. The numbers already show there's no way they're getting in the playoffs. And so be it. Carry on.
Yeah, I think you have to. And I think the bigger point here is that you have to keep flexibility. Like, you have to keep, if you're the NBA, you have to keep flexibility. You can't box yourself in to if this happens, we're going to do this. It, to me, it has to remain a fluid situation to give it the best opportunity to succeed and to remain safe. Like, you want to have the ability to pull the plug in any moment, and you also want to have the ability to push through.
And then take a step away from the situation and go through all, what are the options? What are our options here?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a guy like LeBron James, if he's the one guy that gets it, and we're still going through the first two-week bubble, I mean, sure, the Lakers will probably still play their games. LeBron has enough time to get back. You don't need to can the whole season right away. It gives you a chance to sit back and look, what can we do? How can we salvage what's going on right now?
Yeah, and look, so I think if one of the three teams wins it, you know, that everybody thinks is going to win it going in, I mean, I think the clear-cut three favorites, right, are the Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks. So I think if we look back in October and one of those three teams wins it, there's no reason for an asterisk. I don't know about a gold star. We'll have to see it play out. But to me, there's no reason for an asterisk, you know, or really any diminishing of the accomplishment.
Well, JD, I got a team that you told me that probably was your team that you thought could win it. You told me this back in August. I think on the other side, let's revisit that and let's see if that team would get an asterisk.
Yeah, that's kind of where I did want to take it next, because I think if one of those three teams win it, nobody's going to say anything. I also think there's a group of teams, and you mentioned a couple of these teams that still have no shot to win it.
Right.
So we'll get into that coming up here. Hour number one in the books, hour number two straight ahead. It's John Dickinson and Nash Solomon. We're with you here on a Saturday, live and local on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.